This week's Torah Away has been sponsored by Ilu Nishmas Reb Zev Ben Reb Dov Zichron Levocha and Ilu Nishmas Reb Shmuel Chaim Ben Reb Svi Hirsch Zichron Levocha. Chav Zayin Elul, Friday the 14th of September, Rabbi Dr. Svi Pilofsky, The Mysteries, Self-Awareness, Sin and the 11 Dots.
Good morning. Parshat Nitzav, in one of the shortest parshas in the Torah, is read on its own this year. Because there's an extra Shabbos between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So the opening sequence is quite enigmatic. There's lots of psukim which are familiar, but I think are not well understood. And in fact, because of that, there are considerable disagreements amongst the Rishonim as exactly how to read them. The passage ends with one of the most well-known psukim, and for reasons which I don't quite understand, one of those psukim where the audience joins in with the Baal Kriya. I'm not quite sure what that is. It's to do with the Tamim, I think. Hanisto Rois La Hashem Elokeinu, the hidden things are for Hashem Elokeinu, Vahanigloys, and I think that Vov is but rather than and, but those things that are revealed, lonu ulvonenu adoilom, or for us and for our children forever, la'asois, to perform, eskol divrei ha-Torah hazois, all the words of this Torah. This verse is very difficult. It's familiar, but it's very difficult. Apart from being difficult in and of itself, and coming to the end of the passage, which obviously it would be appropriate to see it in context, sometimes we make a mistake and we just take the verse as a discrete entity. It's not, it's part of a passage and needs to be seen in context. There are also some dots, the 11 dots, over the words lonu ulvonenu and the ayin of ad. There is a dot on each letter, a total of 11 dots. And we're going to spend a little time exploring perhaps what this means. Now, what is interesting is that Rashi gives a pshat, which as far as I can see, seems to be somewhat devoid of the context. The passage really seems to be talking about people who go over to Avodah Zorah. V'hoyor, several psukim earlier, v'shomois tivrei ola hazois, person hears the words of this curse. We're talking about a follow-on, presumably, from the Tochocha at the end of last week's parsha. V'sporech bilvovoyle, more a person will bless himself in his heart, and he will say. So this is not something which is overt. This is something which is going on inside, and he seems to be planning, ki bishi rusli bi'eleich, I'm going to do my own thing, exactly how he translated the phrase, leman sofos horovoi, it's difficult to translate it. And he says, lo yovah Hashem soleach lo, God's not going to let him off the hook because of this. And it carries on, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu distinguishes between good and bad, and how he will pour out the famous phrase, fire and brimstone, gofris for melech, sulfur and salt, srefocholat, saw all kinds of negative consequences, and it's important to uphold all the things, all the blessings and curses that are written in the Sefer Torah. So, that's the context. Now, there's Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Gimel, which talks about this. And it asks the question, Loma nokud alono ulvonenu val ein sheba ad. Why are there these dots in the text? Malamid shalonash alhanistores, to teach that one is not punished for the hidden things, without any explicit statement of what those hidden things may be, ad sheovru Yisrael hayarden, until Yisrael pass over the Yarden. We're just at the transitional point, Moshe's life is about to end. Chronologically, we're just a few moments from the end of the story, and they're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. That's what's pending, to teach you that they are not going to be punished for Nistoros until they part. This seems to be an issue of Arvus, mutual responsibility. What are Nistoros? We'll see that in a moment. Divrei Rebbe Yehuda. Omalei Rebbe Nechemia. Rebbe Yehuda and Nechemia always disagree about dots. There are midrashim about this, about how to read the dots, what they mean, to what extent they take the text out of context. More of that in a moment. So Rebbe Nechemia says to Rebbe Yehuda, how can you ever be punished for hidden things? This means I can't be responsible for something I don't know about. Ad olam. And anyway, the text says ad olam. The hanistoros l'Hashem Elokeinu, but v'hanigloys. It's not clear exactly where you put the comma. Lon ad olam. It could be the phrase ad olam, forever, is going on both sections of the pasuk. that whatever we stay here is not going to change when they go into Eretz Yisrael. It's forever. Ella, k'shem sh'ana shalim istoros. So, Reb Nechemia's alternative reading is, just as they're not punished for the hidden things now or ever, ad olam, kach lo onosh al oin shibugoli ad sh'ovri yisrael seyarlin, they won't even be punishments for things that are overt, the niglois, until afterwards, until they enter the land. And this is a predicate on the understanding that whenever you have dots, they tell you something specific. How one would write it, and immediately underline it, the way Rashi puts it on the Gemara there, chol nekuda lema'et. A dot is to reduce, to limit the application of the verses. Well, it looks like in a simple reading there's a certain application, but it's actually more limited. It only starts when they go into the land and not just now. There are various other discussions, a little bit about this. There's a Dan Zaken in Balei HaTosfos, which is in this perek. He says, anakuda kamachak, it's like a needle point, like a hole. Like a hole. What does that mean? It's like I haven't written them. It's like it's not there. It's almost as like you've cut it out. And some of it's like, which means somehow or other we reduce it in its potency. And there's a Maharal, also a well-known Maharal, it's a bit like taking thing out of context. So the dots are trying to do something with the text, which remove it from its simple reading, reduce its application. You might underline it, italicise it, highlight it in some kind of modern way, and that's what the dots mean over it. Perhaps we'll come back to that. In the meantime, the meaning is obscure. What are the nistores? So Rashi on the Psukim here, before we move on to something perhaps which is easier to understand, he says, "V'im tomu ma b'yodein lasos." We say, well, God, what can we do about the rebellious people mentioned in the passage thus far? It seems that you're going to punish the public, the Jewish people, for the evil thoughts of individuals. Because it says, Penyesh bochem ishosh, people are going to do this and that and the other, it seems we're responsible. And then it says, you can see, it seems what's going to happen, there's going to be all sorts of awful things. It seems that we are being held culpable for the faults of individuals. How on earth are we supposed to control or regulate or respond to the thoughts of other people? No one knows what another person's really thinking. Ein ani manish eschem ala nistoris. The apostle comes to say, no, I don't punish for the nistoris. Shehein l'Hashem Elokeinu. The private thoughts of individuals remain the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yifrom me'oisa yochid. And God will take responsibility and deal with that person. That's not our problem. Aval hanigleis, but things that are overt, actions of other people, which we do see, we have to take a degree of responsibility for. They are lonu ulavonenu, levaer hora mekirbenu, to expunge the evil from our midst. Vim loinan said din bohem, and if we don't take responsibility for the actions of society, yonush es harabim, then the public will be punished. And he goes on then to discuss the dot. He quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So what Rashi is saying is the pshat in the posuk is hanistorois la Hashem Elokeinu, that you might have thought based on context that when people have thoughts of avodah zorah or rebellion, the public will be responsible, and that is dreadful because how are we supposed to know what other people are thinking? There's an assurance hanistorois la Hashem Elokeinu, that the thoughts of people that we other people are not party to remain between that person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the niglois, not just our own actions, but what we see, the way we see other people behaving, we have to take responsibility for it. And therefore, it's lonu ulvonenu ad olam, la'asos es kol divrei Torah zos, which means that it might mean to implement, to ensure the whole society implements all the words of this Torah. What they're thinking is not our problem. That's how Rashi explains it, and so on. So that's okay. What is interesting is that Rashi makes no reference to the context, the Avodah Zorah context, of the Psukim. So there's an interesting Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam are somewhat more interested in a kind of a straightforward pshat. Here's the Ibn Ezra, Nistorois. Atam mishavod avodah zorah b'seisa. And it seems in context it's a very, very reasonable reading. It's talking about people who serve avodah zorah in private, where no one knows what's going on. That avodah zorah, and this storos, doesn't mean the hidden thoughts. It means actions that are going on in a place where no one could reasonably detect them. They are l'Hashem Elokeinu. V'atam ki mishpote biyad Hashem. That's because justice in such circumstances remain in the hands of God. V'yifrom imenu. That God will punish this person. But if they are visible, we can't turn a blind eye. The society and its leaders remain responsible to deal with it. And if we don't, then we're culpable. Then he makes it very interesting. It's fascinating. He rejects this, the Ibn Ezra. Because if someone is reading it like this, and this story is l'Hashem Elokeinu v'hanigloys, comma, Lonu levoneinu ad olam, and he says, how does that work? There are those who say, kina nistrois v'hanigloys heim l'Hashem. That it means both the private things are nistrois and the niglois l'Hashem. You'd have to kind of do some, I think, violence to the punctuation, certainly to the trop. And this story is l'Hashem Elokeinu v'hanigloys, comma. But lonu ulvoneinu ad olam l'chasois es kol divrei haTorah zois, which I think does significant violence. It feels very uncomfortable to say that. And what would that mean? He says all our job is to get on and perform the Torah. So what other people do, whether it's in private or in public, is their problem. But our job, lonu ulvoneinu ad olam l'chasois es kol divrei haTorah zois, our job is just to get on and do it. And he says, that's rubbish. He said, you can't read the verse like that. It's fascinating. It's interesting. He brings it. He says, v'zeh ha-pirush below roish v'regel. I like that phrase. Below roish v'regel. It's got no head and no feet. Meaning, it's no one's going to buy it. And it also doesn't really work, but it's a great phrase, lo rosh v'regel. It's a great put-down, but it's a very interesting attempt. It's evidence, though, even though clearly we can't accept this explanation, and the Ibn Ezra rejects it, it's evidence that early sources are struggling to know exactly what to do with the verse, and they're willing to do something which demagogues do this with texts, and they make convincing explanations, and sometimes the Havdil Chassidish Rebbes as well. But it's not the kind of thing we expect from Rishonim, and the Ibn Ezra rejects. It's just a very interesting reading and so the Rashbam is really the Pashtun supreme. You may have seen, I don't know whether they have it in this Oitzer here, and there's a relatively modern two-volume critical edition of the Rashbam. Now, when I say critical, I don't mean he's criticising it. It means it's got footnotes and manuscripts by someone by the marvellous name of Lokshin. So I bought it because of the name, but actually the books are really very good, and so on. And I won't say what I'm thinking, but we'll leave that for afterwards. Okay, now. So Hanistoros, according to the Rashbam, is going back. It's all part of one passage. We need to be very careful. We're used to the division of the Parshias, according to tradition. So the Kisovov is last week, and then we start new. And actually, it's all really one part of continuous text. And we should view it not as a break and something completely new, but there's a cliffhanger, which is left at the end of last week's Parsha. Then we continue the story this week. That's how we should read it. So the Rashbam says, the Nistorois are referring back to the Arurim, to the Tochacha in the Parsha of last week. Parsha Eitzel Arurim are the Nistorois, and Nistorois are the Brochas of our Klolos. The Nistorois are the Brochas and the Klolos, which are recorded in the previous Parsha. All of that is to be administered by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not our job to say, oh, look at that, you're not following the rules. We're going to bring about some kind of punishment system that's meant that. All that Tochacha is all about what a Kodesh Baruch Hu will bring or do, good or bad. So that's, again, trying to contextualize the section. Now, the Ramban, before I come on to what I think is perhaps one of the most interesting and little-known interpretations, The Ramban explains as follows, a completely different understanding. And this is we'll link it to the forthcoming Rosh Hashanah. The Dati B'derech HaPshat. So the Ramban, the simple reading of this, yeah, Nistoros. What are the Nistoros? Not like Rashi, not like the Gemara. Not like the Rashbam or the Ibn Ezra. Hey, makatoy man istroy min ha'oisim oisom. Sins that are concealed from people who did them. Meaning the person's unaware. I refer to the title of the share, that's self-awareness. In order to be able to address wrongdoing, we have to be aware of it. Which, true, we can include on Yom Kippur, we refer to things that are goluim lonu, einum goluim lonu, things that we know about, things that we don't know about. But according to the Ramban, the word, the phrase, v'hanistoros, means not things that we don't know about that other people are doing, but even the people who have done them are unaware of. As he says, hanistorim in ha'oisim oisom. They're concealed from the very people who did them themselves. Chumois shigiois, miyovin, ministorois nakeini. A posit that we all know. So what's the posit then saying? Yema hanistoris lashem levadoi heim. Ein lonu bohem avoi nashechoto. It's something which a person's unaware of, where they're completely unknown to them. That they've done wrong, it's not treated in the same way as a conscious decision to do an Aveira with all its fallout. And so, Hanistoros, when a person has failed in their religious responsibilities but they're not aware of it, that is between man and God. But Hanigloys, Lonul of Oneno Azolon, but things that are revealed we have to deal with. Once the thing is actually an action, then it has to be in the context of Lasos, it's called Divreator Azois. It's a very interesting alternative. Now, Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya quotes a Rambam, which to the best of my knowledge is not known from anywhere else. And the Rambam here is demonstrating what I might describe elsewhere as a certain antinomian tendency. One of the antinomian tendencies is that in the Rambam's world, ideal world, and you see it in his Hakdomas and various other writings, he's very suspicious of the physical world. The Rambam really thinks that in the ideal world, people will be able to contemplate and have this perfect relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, understanding our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and really, although, of course, he understands all of the responsibilities of the Torah obligatory, he kind of thinks or hopes for a world in which life will be much more contemplative, and that really human beings can achieve what they can achieve really by thought, meditation, and rather than necessarily by action. And this Rabbeinu Bachya quoting the Rambam indicates it's a very interesting idea. V'shemati b'shem ha-Rambam. I've heard in the name of the Rambam, but pirush posuk zeh, what this posuk means. Hanistori slashem elokeinu. Yema soidus haTorah hanistorim, the tam hamitzvahs l'shem ya'alehein, meaning the true meaning of the mitzvahs, the real purpose and function of our Torah, that's the nistoris. The real enigma of the Torah, according to this Rambam, is what it's for. We can speculate. We have wonderful sforim written by Rishonim and later sources, largely speculating as to what the purpose of the mitzvahs will be. There are, of course, many early sources that talk about it as well. But the true meaning, the true function, as he says, the sodas ha-Torah ha-Nistorim, the tam ha-mitzvahs, the real, that remains and all wells will remain in the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This pasuk is telling us, according to this Rambam, and Nistorim slash Emelikeinu. Yizkeh Odom said, but there's a consequence of that. Imagine there is a person who is so developed and has such understanding of the Torah that he presumes to have fully understood the function of a particular mitzvah. Is it good enough then just to think that thought? What does he need to do the action anymore for? That's the antinomian idea. That at a certain point, you could have such a perfect understanding that you could tune into the function of the mitzvah, as it were, without actually doing it. If there will be a person, Yikach Oznoi, Shemetz Benom, Midias Shorish HaMitzvah, he really, really understands the purpose of the mitzvah. V'okra b'nistu shabo, as it were, and he's kind of, the phrase is difficult, but I think what he means is that he is, as he uncovered it, is no longer hidden. He claims to have a full and complete understanding of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's function in a particular mitzvah. Al yifta bekach min ha nigla Shalayase ha-mitzvah be'inyan gufni. This does not exempt that person from their responsibility to perform the mitzvah in a physical sense. You know, this time of the year we joke about this, we've got to get up early for slichus. So imagine I understand the purpose of slichus. So maybe I can just lie in bed and think about them rather than actually getting out of bed to say them. Right? And lahavdil elef havdolos, this is one of the things that the early reform movement did. It said that the mitzvahs are concepts, they teach ideas, and really I don't need to do the action. It is, again, lahavdil, a kind of Protestant-type Judaism, where thinking about the ideas is all you need to do. And tefillin is about making sure that the ideas of the Torah affect my actions and my thoughts. Well, now I know that, I don't need to put them on anymore. It's very interesting. It presages that type of complete rejection of a normal Torah existence. Don't ever think, says the Rabbeinu Bachi in the name of the Rambam, that even if you have a perfect understanding of the mitzvah, that would exempt you from doing the mitzvah itself. Ein lo minomin iser. That knowledge or understanding would never exempt a person. Shahari hanigloys lonu ulavonenu laasois. Because the external things, the niglas, which are the externalization of the mitzvah, the manifestation, the action, is always for us to do. So what's the pshat in the pasuk according to the Rambam? Hanistorois l'Hashem Elokeinu. The true meaning of the mitzvahs remain in the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But even if you were to imagine that you could just tune in and understand it and therefore connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an appropriate way, and therefore you had a havamin and not to actually do it, the hanigloys, the manifestation, the externalization of the mitzvah, is lonu ulvonenu ad oilom la'asois, is called Divrei HaTorah Azois. It's for us and for our children forever, right to the end of time, la'asois, to do, not just to think about, not just to contemplate or meditate upon, but it's la'asois, es kol divrei ha-Torah ha-zois. It's to do this Torah, because the Torah is a project of action. It's the transformation of human beings through action, and thought simply isn't sufficient. It's very interesting, pshat. It's very interesting, it's unknown. I spoke a little bit about my shul a couple of years ago on Parshat Nitzav, and it turned out that there was a very famous scholar in the audience, a non-Orthodox scholar, who's apparently a great expert in the Rambam. And he told me afterwards that he'd never heard this Rambam, and as far as he knows, this Rambam is not known at all in any of the writings of the Rambam. This is almost certainly the only place that it's known from. It's interesting. He does say it's fascinating. Ha-pirush ha-zeh ba'atzmi, this is now the Rabbeinu Bachya writing. Ha-zeh ba'atzmi shehem yukav sapir. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Aval eina b'inin ha-parsha. It's a lovely explanation, but it doesn't have anything to do with the parsha. And so on. And that's very interesting, because we've seen that there are shown, particularly the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam, who are very focused on the pshat, who want to make sure that whatever they come up with for this pasuk, it's in context. And this really is out of context. But I think nonetheless, and then he goes on to talk about how he fits into context. And I don't think that I'm necessarily going to read the rest of the Rabbeinu Bachya. The Rambam is fascinating. One wants some kind of mussar out of this, rather than an entertaining look through the alternative explanations. This idea is something which we might think, well, how interesting, but we would never do that. But actually, all of us do this from time to time. We think, I get the idea and so on. But actually, what the Torah is saying at this stage is, we've had all the brochas, we've had the kololas, we've had the successes and failures, and there are people who are plotting things in their hearts and so on and so forth. That's the phrase. But actually, we can fall into the trap of thinking, like, I understand it, I know what's going on, and actually, maybe I can be lax in the way I actually behave, in the way I implement the project. But I love this. And this does, but the niglois, the manifestation, the externalization of the mitzvah, this idea, which is the niglois, the language works very well, the nistoros are the hidden ideas, but the niglois, or the revealed part, i.e. the external, the shell, the externalization, that will always be lonu ulvoneinu. It's our responsibility, it's responsibility to communicate it to our children, ad olam. Even when we come to a time where we have a much greater understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, a messianic period, and there's certainly messianic themes in the following passage, because we move on to the parasha of Tshuva. That's the next section. That's Revi in the parasha. That's next, so it collects it very well. Even when we come to that phase of history where the world is different, it's nonetheless ad olam la'asos is called divrei ha-Torah zos. The Torah is a project of action, not just of thought. Of course, with no ideas and no concept or understanding, it becomes very difficult to find it meaningful and transmittable, but nonetheless, I think the idea is most important. So, we could speculate as we finish that we have had the rich variety of explanations indicate that actually the psukim are very obscure. But there are many psukim where it's quite clear what they mean. There's only a small variance, I mean, the way these are understood. We've seen numerous different understandings, and so on. I find the Rambam the most fascinating. But probably the most devious is the one the Ibn Ezra rejects, which puts the comma after the word of Ahniglois. But the most likely is that this is referring to Avodah Zorah, because of the context, which is what the Ibn Ezra says. Just returning very briefly to finish the dots. So we see the dots. Hanigloys lo, so it's the verses is Lonu Ulvonenu ad Olam. This is interesting. No one really knows why the dots are there. They are part of an ancient tradition. You can see they're referred to in the Gemara, which means they're without question going back to an ancient Masorah, presumably part of the original communication with Kodesh Baruch Hu, how to write the Torah. And the Maharal speculates why there are 11 to correspond to the 11 Arurim, and so on, which is really sort of based in the earlier sources. But I think what the dots say, as you've seen, is the Ladots Lema'et. It's very difficult to work out what it means. Maybe it's out of context. Maybe it doesn't quite say what it's supposed to say. Maybe it lends itself to multiple interpretations. And that's why the dots are written. If you look very closely, there's more than meets the eye here. But whatever it is, the hidden things themselves remain an enigma. And whether it's about the self-awareness that the Ramban says, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu willing to treat us with compassion, even when we act unknowingly, or whether it's about societal responsibility for wrongdoers, or whether it's about a recognition that we have to fulfill the practical dictates of the Torah, even if we have a very advanced understanding of their meaning, it's quite clear that the hidden things still remain for our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Have a good day. Good Shabbos.